Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our meditation for today takes a more personal turn as our concentration shifts to the third line of our hymn, Ever Patient and Lowly. Thus we fix our attention on the patient Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As St. Peter speaks of an example of Jesus, and we are all ears, or at least that seems to be the cultural shift in our country, we love asking the question, what would Jesus do? It's been a question on people's minds for some time now, and we could use a few pointers after all. Just what would Jesus do in my shoes? Life becomes pretty complex these days, and it's a bit overwhelming from time to time. It would be great if we could look to Jesus for a few pointers on how best to respond to some of the tough questions in our own life, especially the more unpleasant situations that we face each day. As life often leaves us, well, just battered and bruised much of the time, and not all of our injuries are totally self-inflicted. Sometimes they're brought on upon us by those we love the most, and sometimes by total strangers. Despite our best efforts to play by the rules and lead a godly life, we often end up on the short end of the stick. So while we are licking our wounds, we often wonder, is there another way perhaps? Could Jesus provide us with a model of how to handle our undeserved oppression? Maybe a good dose of what he dished out on the temple with the money changers would prove helpful. At least it would feel good. Maybe a whip and a few well-chosen angry words would teach people a thing or two about how to treat us. After all, the scriptures say, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And my sinful nature says, I want to be deputized. Just what do you do when you do good and suffer for it? Is there another way? But St. Peter leaves us with absolutely no wiggle room at all. Want to know what you do when you do good and you suffer for it? Suffer. That's what you do. To this you were called, St. Peter writes, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The patient Lamb of God, you see, does not mean a lamb who is tolerant and enduring patient. Patient means suffering. Today we consider the suffering Lamb of God. He is our example, writes St. Peter. He is the one who suffered for us. And this suffering Lamb of God is not just a mentor in suffering. Rather, he is the sufferer par excellence. Jesus wrote the book on suffering, and he wrote it in his own blood. And the one who suffered for us has called us, well, to suffer with him. Jesus says in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Christians ought not then be surprised when suffering comes their way. There simply is no Jesus like that. Contrary to many popular preachers today, the very reason he left his Father's throne and came down from glory was to lower himself all the way down into our sin to death, even death on a cross. Jesus came down to lay down his life as a ransom for sinners and only for sinners. This is the measure of his love and the Father's love for a lost and fallen world. As John writes in 1 John, for this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the payment for our sins. Yes, this Jesus, whom we love, is the patient Lamb of God, the suffering Lamb of God, who suffers for us. He left us an example which Christians will follow. Make no mistake about it. Those footsteps are marked by hardship and suffering. When Jesus says, "Come, follow me," that's what it means. For when he said, "Come, follow me," then he walked the road to the cross. The very fact that we follow Jesus will get us into trouble. We have enemies. From the time of our baptism, the devil, the world, and our own flesh hate us, despise us, and want nothing to do with us because we are joined to Jesus. We keep wondering what went wrong when things go bad in our life. The theologian of glory inside each and every one of us thinks, if we're on God's side, everything should be fine and dandy. "Not so," says Peter. "To this you were called." He insists. Because Christ suffered for you, you ought to expect to suffer when you have done nothing wrong. This is the life we have inherited from Christ. Following in his steps means you share in his suffering because you have the same enemies that he has. These very sufferings, therefore, are the marks of an authentic Christian faith. They show that you belong to Jesus, the very patient Lamb of God. "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth," Peter wrote. These words are quoted from the prophet Isaiah, where we see the full extent of the trials of the suffering Messiah. "He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." Isaiah 53, verse 9. It's a package deal. This patient love of Jesus for his church, it includes not only suffering, it includes death. That is how we confessed it today in the Creed. "He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried." So when we read the Passion history in these Lenten services, it is not so we can feel sorry for Jesus. It is not so we feel bad about all he had to go through at the hands of those horrible people, those enemies of Jesus. Didn't do him in. Rather, it was the deliberate plan of God to make Jesus the victim of our sin so that we could go free. As Isaiah 53 recorded in verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." The phrase "the passion of the Christ" means his suffering and all that it includes. St. Peter gives us the shorthand version. "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." That about sums it up. From his first words at the cross until his last, Jesus' sole concern was to do the work of the Father. And that was giving his body and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He did not utter a word of self-defense, a word of revenge from beginning to end. Instead, Jesus began by saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And he ended, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now that's love. Love that never seeks its own way, but pours itself out for others. At the cross, we see love incarnate, pouring himself out for the sins of the entire world, and that includes mine and yours. This is a patient love, a suffering love. Having loved his own, Jesus loved them all the way to death, even death on the cross. That's the measure of his love, this patient Lamb of God, this suffering Lamb. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't seek out suffering. But we will take it when it comes our way because we know that it goes with the territory. St. Peter, to this you were called. Because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. But suffering is never an end in itself. The suffering of Jesus on the cross was not for its own sake. And the reading of his passion during these 40 days of Lent is not an end in itself. Of this, St. Peter reminds us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Jesus suffered for the joy that was set before him, that is, the eternal salvation of all who by faith receive his gift. The reason Jesus was sacrificed is that he is the sin bearer, but not his sins, rather ours. All our selfishness, all our pride, all our arrogance, all our impatience, all our stubborn refusals to love God above all things and our neighbor as ourself, all our impatience and petty irritations with God and other people, all our refusals to let God be God, and all our prideful attempts to build ourselves up by tearing others down. Each and every one of these sins and many more deserve death and bring death. And that is why Jesus had to come. He is our sin bearer. He bore all our sins on his own body. And when Jesus, the patient Lamb of God, bore our sins in his suffering and death, he bore them all the way. He removed once and for all the death penalty that stood against us. In a mysterious way, we died too with Jesus that day. In that death of his, we died. See, Peter puts it this way, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. Here is where Christ's patience becomes our patience. Since by the grace of God, all our impatience and ungodliness was given to Jesus in his death, he has taken it all away and given us his own righteousness. We have not just a new way of life, but a whole new life. When we were insulted, we need not retaliate. When we suffer, we need not threaten. And that's good to know. You may have suffered a lot because of the words and actions of others over the years, and you're not alone. Many of us are among the walking wounded, but remember that when Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, he also took your hurt with him all the way through the cross, his death, and then didn't bring them out with him in his resurrection. That's why we know that by his wounds you are healed. Your hurt comes to an end in him who cried out in triumph that day at Calvary, "It is finished." There is healing in his body and his most precious blood. Therefore, we no longer repay evil with evil or abuse with abuse. For we have died to sin and are alive to righteousness. And that not of ourselves is the gift of God. This righteousness is the very righteousness of Christ. We need not ask what would Jesus do, because he himself lives in us by faith, and we are alive in him. As St. Paul writes to the church at Rome, We who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A whole new life in Christ. And his righteousness is yours. It's given to you. It's declared to you. You heard it today. Your sins are forgiven you. You ushered in it in your baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven you. You'll come to the table today and receive it in your mouth, the very body and blood of Christ that was shed on a cross, but now has eternal life in it, is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The whole new life in Christ and his righteousness is yours. Take it and go with it into life. Live in him as he lives in you, this patient Lamb of God who bore all your sins in his own body on the tree. For indeed by his wounds we are healed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.